This is episode 243. Don't fuck with my fish.
It sounds like you've told me more than once with that tone. Coming to you from aboard a 55-foot sailboat. It's the tone control, baby.
The caviar and the...
Can we have a Yacht Rock version of the intro?
Oh. I don't know. Sure, go for it. All right, welcome to the Tone Control. On tonight's episode, tuning your guitar. We'll go over the pros and cons. that's the best I can. That's it. It's all downhill from there.
Love to hear the cons. Actually,
I hadn't actually prepared. So
that's fine.
Derek's calling me. He's calling me out.
I'm just saying, in general, I'm not asking you to do this. I'm just saying, you know, send in your cons for tuning.
Let's crowdsource that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with, you know, what goes wrong when you tune your guitar? What's bad
time
about
passes?
That's true. Time that you could have been playing the next song already, goddammit.
Yep. Looking dumb.
Break a string. Do you ever break a string with it while you were tuning?
While tuning?
I've never broken a string while tuning.
I mean, nothing sticks out, but probably. I feel like yes. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric,
you ever
has.
Wonder? This is not.
I've broken strings while making a cup of coffee.
Sometimes these things that I do like every day, or like not every day, but these things that I do as regular things, like changing guitar strings, I often think about how many times have I changed a set of strings on a guitar? And like, how many strings is that, right? Do the math. And I there's no way for me to know, but I like to think, I don't know. It's just kind of fun. Like, how many is that? How many sets of strings have I like cut and thrown in the garbage?
Oh yeah. Wow.
Anyway, how are you?
You're out when a game counts how many hours you've played in the game. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
Boy, if they did that for strings, that'd be something.
If they did that, who would do that?
Strings.
Yeah, big string.
Big string.
Yeah, I need like a clicky counter installed in my guitar.
Yeah.
Like one of those people counter click things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just put one in my guitar, and every time I change strings, I'll click it one more.
Mm-hmm. So do you count individual strings or sets of strings?
I need two clicky counters installed. do the math.
I'm doing pretty good. Once again, we're running late because I chased a random computer problem that it made all the, my shit was all running the wrong sample rate. And anyway, that's what's going on. I was going to leave it in the episode, but then it was so bad that I had to stop the recording completely. So I now that is lost. But the point is, it's not lost. Technically, I have the, I don't know. I guess I could cut them both in. All right. Maybe I'll put in the bad theme music right here.
Whoa. That's not correct.
No, it is not.
All right, so we're going to reboot SoundPlant. I think my interface must have changed sampling rates.
Yeah.
Yep.
So great.
Okay, so that's what I was dealing with.
Anyway. The whole, like, 15 minutes of the intro, not even that much.
I'll just cut in the bullshit where everybody goes, wait, what? not the troubleshooting for 10 more minutes after that. Okay, yeah. Anyway, the point is, computers, they sometimes fuck with you, but, you know, we persevere.
You fuck with them right back.
How's it going over there?
It's going. I'm back home after a weekend away that I sort of forgot I was doing, and resulted in not like not wanting to go. Like I wanted to go to the thing we were doing, but I also like didn't want to do it. You know what I mean? It was kind of a very weird combination of feelings.
Yeah.
We went down to my hometown to celebrate my parents' 40th wedding anniversary, which like, great. Yeah. Want to do that. Obviously I'm here for that,
mm-hmm.
but it was the, I got to pack up the whole car again. Like I got to like load up the family van and like the dog this time. And it was just like, it's a lot. And driving diagonally through New England, as we do, it is getting really, really bad. It is not an easy drive. Not that it ever was, but it's not, it's just not good. Even when there's no traffic, it's just kind of a hectic drive. And it's a holiday weekend here. So, you know, tomorrow's the 4th of July and there's just like traffic. And then there was some really bad weather, but 48 hours ago, I was on a 55-foot sailboat.
Oh shit.
Eating lobster salad and drinking champagne cocktails and things. So
fucking baller.
I was pretty baller. Yeah.
Shit.
That part was cool. We had the baby on the boat and everything, and he was a friggin' legend, absolute it's champion like, I love the whole boats. Time. Yeah. He was like, this is great.
He was like, I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat. Yeah. And he had like, you know, his like super crazy white blonde hair, just like flapping in the breeze.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, caviar this is the life. Hand. Yeah. Oh yeah. We were like an absolute cliche.
Yeah.
But then it was like, you know, we get back to the house at the end of the night and I'm like, here we go. Like it's late. Missed bedtime by a ton. Having to like pack up and leave the next day. It's just like, you know, that state of a trip when you're like, all I have to do now is go to sleep and wake up and leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I have a hard time with sometimes. Cause if I was by myself, right, I would say, I'm just going to leave now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Like drive it through the night.
Yeah. And it should be a little over 3 hours away, but it never is anymore. So,
well, you know, it might have been in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not about to like,
yeah,
do that with a 1-year-old. So anyway, it was just sort of like, we got home and it was like an immediate crash. So, but I was off work today and daycare was closed. So it was just like bro day, me, Charlie and Jack hanging out, did a bunch of errands, got told my baby was cute like 7 or 8 times by total strangers. For that. Yeah, I do actually.
Yep.
I just like keep it like, you know, like some babies have those like pacifier clips.
Yeah.
I'll just put a counter on the end.
The cute counter.
Yeah. Well, there's another one. Click, click, click. Yep.
There you go.
And what else?
If somebody tries to touch him and you have to stop them from touching him, that's 3 clicks, I think.
Oh, right. Actually, so here's a wild tangent we can go on.
That sounds good.
We were on our return trip from our vacation. With right. you.
Yep.
And we were stopped at a rest stop doing the diaper change and like getting some food and stuff. And while I was waiting, somebody in like, I was sitting at a McDonald's booth just waiting for Beth. And I had Jack and somebody, he was like kind of like flirting with the old ladies behind us. And they sort of like reached out and like touched his belly and like touched his arm and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is a thing I didn't expect, I guess, or knew I should have expected, or
yeah,
just sort of a. And I don't want
to. If somebody asked you about it, you'd have been like, oh yeah, but you're not going to come up with it on your own.
Somebody has asked me about it before, and I was like, oh, of course. And it was somebody I knew, and so it was like, I just
meant like if somebody had a stranger, asked you, hey, do you think strangers would ever try to touch your baby?
Yeah. Oh, that no, yeah. I knew they would and stuff, but I also, it's one of those things I keep. Not waiting for it to happen, but you never expect it. And I wasn't about to be moments like that. I don't really like the sudden, I don't want to be confrontational and be like, I'm sorry, could you not touch my baby? Cause there's no way to say that. That's not like going to be perceived as rude. And I don't like that feeling.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's very hard. And I'm trying to be better about that kind of thing, but man, it sucks.
Yeah.
But, and they just like sort of like a little tickle, tickle. And then they were on their way. And I was just like, oh, great. Like, I have to do that now. And yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. The, you know, it's like somebody else did the thing that you're not supposed to do. And for whatever personal fault or age and culture related reason, they think that that's fine. And it doesn't matter that they think it's fine. It's not. But now you have to be the one to like say something about it, or like, are they going to go away on their own? So then it's like, I'm always like something like that, something weird happens. And it's like, now I'm alerted, I'm triggered or whatever. And now I'm waiting. Am I going to say something to you, or was that it? Yeah. Is it over now? You know,
I ended up not saying anything cause it was over.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a, great. So like I have that to deal with, like a stranger at a rest stop. Come on. Come on. You know? So I don't know. It was just, that was a weird feeling, but anyway.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. Yeah. We were on a sailboat and it was friggin' wicked.
Fucking A.
Yeah. It was great.
Like a cruise running it. And I mean, you said it was just huge, right? It's like 50 feet,
55 feet. I think he said it was just one captain. He lives on the boat. My dad's known him for like 25 years. He's like an old buddy. So and he lives on the boat.
So you turn up and he's like, sure, we'll take out the house. Like, come on over. Yeah.
Fire up the house.
Let's go for a spin in the house.
I'm going to write that down.
Oh, God.
But his job now is chartering the boat and doing stuff. And in the winter, he's one of those guys that moves people's moves rich people's boats from Florida back and forth to the Northeast.
Oh, okay.
So he does that, and then he's planning to, he's like in touch with all these like sailing races and stuff, and like, oh, so-and-so just set the record for the around the world solo sailboat thing, and like he's telling us all about this stuff. I'm like, holy shit. So he's really like, this is his whole life, and his whole thing is like kind of not being a part of the rat race hustle bustle of that area, Southern Connecticut, New York area.
Mm.
And so he's just like, live on the boat. I cruise through Long Island Sound. Like I grew up near Long Island Sound, so he's very familiar with all the Norwalk Islands and stuff, and just like zips around. We did like a little lighthouse tour and stuff. And then he's talking about like, oh yeah, the so-and-sos, they had this, and then they put it up for sale, and now someone's Airbnb-ing the lighthouse. And I was going to buy the island, but then I, you know, decided to do the boat thing instead. I'm like, what? You're going to buy the island? And it's such a strange concept for me. But it makes total sense. Like if you buy a house, you own the property it's on. But what if the property is an entire island?
It's an island. I've often thought about like people live on islands. And if it's something like that, where you're buying a little island and there's like a structure of some kind on it, like, is it, how do the utilities work?
Are you off
the grid? Like, do you have to?
I have no clue.
Do you have to contract that with the United States government or what?
So he was saying, I guess
it's just probably like anything else. They probably have
for
cables.
The lighthouse, you own the structure, but then like the Coast Guard sets you up and like pays you to run it as a lighthouse.
Oh, okay.
Because of like the function of it's like it's a safety thing, and like so they maintain it, or they give you the gear. Yeah,
yeah, it would be hardwired like store, you know. Disaster resistant, it's like underground. And everything. Yeah.
And my dad was mentioning like, you live on this island and then you own like 75 acres or something, but it's all underwater. So like you've got the outcropping of the island and then
you have
everything.
All these crabs and shit. And you're like,
the crab army. So it's just like a cool
Aquaman
thing.
Man.
Yeah.
Right. Don't fuck with my fish.
So it's just like such a weird, that is not my life, right? Like sailboats and caviar is not my life at all. And I'm fine with that. But it's weird when it comes around every now and then. And I'm like, well, here I am, right? It's this like total fancy weird person, you know? And it doesn't make any sense to me because I'm like, all these people who are with me, like, you know, not just like my family, but people who are like into this kind of thing would be just as uncomfortable at a late night rock show as I am on this boat, you know?
Yeah. I'd be like, wait, so this is what I'm supposed to do? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do I do? You stand in the back and fold your arms and.
try to look like you're paying attention, but you're a little bit wishing it was over.
Yeah. That's what cool is, guys. So anyway, it was just kind of a crazy time, but anyway, I've been going on too long. What's up with you?
No, that's great. I mean, everything's upside down. I've got nothing interesting over here. The craziest thing that's gone on with the house maintenance saga of Justin's house is every time there's a storm, the cover of the leather cover thing that goes on my grill just blows off.
Mm.
Ah, what the fuck, you know?
The audacity.
I mean, what am I going to do? Put a rock on it? I'm going to tie it
this
down
is the
with,
thing, you
with
know?
Tent stakes? I don't know what to
this
do.
I say this to people who like, so not stupid. Two people, but I say this about people who have a problem with something that's something like that.
Yeah.
I think, man, if this is your biggest problem,
right?
You're doing pretty good today, you know?
It feels great. It feels great. Seriously.
Yeah. I know. I appreciate your win.
Nothing like exploded.
Yeah, Justin, if you lived in a lighthouse, you wouldn't have to do that. I mean, unless you're grilling on the lighthouse.
Well, but I would, if I lived in a lighthouse, I assume I would get into fishing and then I would still want to grill, you know?
Yeah, what, and you'd have to, because then it could, because then you'd have to put a rock on it at least, because then it would blow away into the water.
You know what? I think if I lived on a lighthouse,
like my dad's hat did on the boat.
Like my dad's hat. You know, but when you live on the coast, so in my former life, you know, when I was a house painter, we would often work on the coast. Many of the richest people's houses are there.
Yeah.
And there's a different standard of what you have to do to make a house resist the weather on the coast. Mm-hmm. So if I had a grill on the coast, I would have to have, I don't know, it's like the difference between saddlebags and hard shell bags on a motorcycle, right? I would have to have like the hard shell version of a grill cover, I think. I would have to be something that I would lock down with clasps, you know, and it would be
like a guitar case.
Yes, I would have to have a guitar case grill cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think we just like segued into the show.
I think we did. We hit it. So welcome to the Tone Control.
It's about grills and lighthouses today.
It is. Yeah, that's the story.
What am I hearing? It's fireworks. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. But there's been some popping the past maybe three days ago it started.
Yeah. We call it freedom season here.
Yep. Yep. It's
just kind of the whole summer.
Yep. Freedom fries season.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's transition into the first topic of discussion here, which is very self-referential.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Fucking A. That was a long one, but boy, was it worth it. That sounds like Motley Crue giving it a try. Eric, I've missed you.
Welcome back, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate you're here. Hey, Justin.
What's up?
You hear this?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what it is?
You sure as shit can, my friend. I was going to pull up the website, but we can do better, can't we?
Yeah, we can. It's a Yamaha Revstar RSE20 in swift blue with a lovely racing, double racing stripe in like a cool cream color that matches all the plastics on this guitar. And this is the guitar we're giving away.
This is the centerpiece of the 10-year anniversary giveaway.
This is it, baby.
I am so thrilled. So we haven't really talked about this. Derek and I have been discussing, we kind of decided a long time ago we wanted to give away a guitar, and we worked out into the future about what the price range was going to be that we'd be able to afford. Yeah. And we started looking around for things that we thought would be cool. It needed to be sort of general enough that pretty much anybody's going to be into it. It's not like some weirdo guitar. It's not something that looks mega heavy metal or something like that, that maybe not everybody's into. And there was a lot of options. And then the last one Derek put on this list for me was this Revstar. And it happens to be this color scheme. And it was just, look at it. Conversation over, tone control colors right off the bat.
Oh, it's, and I it can, rules.
I mean,
so,
so
let's, you want to talk about specs? So it's, yeah. It's not offset, but it's kind of like an oversized asymmetrical SG. I guess you could think of it like that. It's not as small.
Little calm down horns a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And it sits better than an SG. Like, it doesn't neck dive. It doesn't have that weird, like, too far to the left feeling. But it's a two-pneumatic bridge with a stop tailpiece, two humbuckers. There is a coil split on the tone pot. And it has, it has very cool, like, vintage-style tuners and a volute on the back of the neck, which we were talking about a little bit before the show. If you're not familiar with a volute, some old Gibsons have it. Other guitars with a angled headstock have it. It's like a reinforced thing right underneath the nut on the back of the headstock.
Yeah, I see.
It's kind of like a neck heel on the other side, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those a lot. They feel great. And the neck on this thing is satin finished as
I was just going to say, I could see in the image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It is awesome. So it's just a simple guitar, like operationally.
Yeah.
Three-way pickup selector and the master coil split, volume and master tone, and that's it.
Yeah. And it, you know, actually, it was slightly hard to find when it came right down to it.
Yeah.
There was one at the local shop by Derek, like the day we picked it out, and literally the one they had sold between calling them and driving there or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was like I talked to them in the middle of the day and I was like, great, I'll swing by after work.
Yeah.
And in that time, 2-3 hours, it was gone. They sold it on Reverb, they told me. So it's here. And I'm keeping all the original packaging from Sweetwater and stuff. And it'll come to you, you know, packaged up nicely. They do this like, have you seen this? It's almost like spray foam insulation, expanding foam.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's these bags of stuff, right? And so you basically like lay it in the package and pull the cord and it blows up like an emergency floaty or something like that. But
right. So there's the guitar box inside the shipping box because there's no case for this at the moment, unfortunately. But the guitar boxes have come a really long way. I'll say that. It's been a long time since I bought a guitar that came in only a box. But, The foam stuff fits on the outside of the triangular box and stuff.
Great.
I already ate the Sweetwater candy. Sorry.
Not included.
Not included, yeah. So anyway, one of my favorite features about this guitar, I don't know if you can really see this that well, the knobs are like half knurled.
Oh, I like that.
And
that's rad.
They're wider on the knurled section, so the top has a wider diameter than the bottom.
Yeah.
But only by a little bit, half a mil maybe. And they're knurled on top and not the bottom. I think it just has a good look. Kind of reminds me of old like automotive hardware almost in like a cool way.
Yeah, it's an appointment that is noticeable, you know. It's almost like just doing something to get a little line on there, right?
Yep. And there's a tummy cut, as you can see. And it's very comfortable. I don't have an exact weight on it at the moment, but I'll get that. It's not heavy. It's not light. It's just like squarely in the middle. The neck is just kind of a medium C. It's an all-around banger.
It has 6 strings. Sorry, I'm on the site. It doesn't actually tell me a weight. So those are VH3. El Nico V humbuckers.
El Nico 5.
Yeah. Well, I said V because I'm feeling boat classy today.
Oh, okay. Okay.
El Nico 5, yeah. So an N and a B for obvious reasons. Like a bridge. But anyway. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to have this guitar here for the summer and I'm planning to use it for the show. I'm not bringing it anywhere or anything. I'm not going to gig with it or bring it to practice. It's going to be here.
Demo with it and stuff like that.
Here in the office. It has all the plastic covers on it, except for the pickups because they're in the way. But, all that protective film is going to be on it. And it's only going to be here, only in this room. And we're going to use it for demos on the show. Going to do like a proper big demo of like the gear that we're giving away and stuff soon. And yeah, so you can hear this thing, the Yamaha RevStar RSE20 in Swift Blue. You can hear that sweet Swift Blue tone.
Exciting anyway. Stuff. So, and that means get on the mailing list.
Yes. Yes, get on the mailing list. We've sent one newsletter.
Yes.
Since last time we sent zero. and so if you're curious what that's going to be, it's like maybe monthly, right? Like yeah. pretty infrequent as far as newsletters go. And it's just going to have things like links to the episodes, notes from us, any other details you might need about things like giveaways, and also sort of a quick rundown of our things of the week that we do every episode. It'll be like things of the month.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a cool way to have all that stuff in one place, so you don't have to rummage through many show notes.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're not going to do any tomfoolery with your email address and stuff like that, but we will be working with Copper Sound pedals and I believe Rattlesnake cables and stuff. So we may yeah. share your contact info to be part of their mailing lists. However, those are mailing lists you should be on as yeah, well. Yeah,
frankly, like, right, we've already been interfacing with those companies quite a bit. I'd be surprised if there were a lot of Tone Control listeners that weren't already on those mailing lists and already, you know, but
yeah.
nevertheless, they're offering us some stuff for this as well, this giveaway. And so obviously we're including that. So when we say sign up for the mailing list, you know, you are agreeing to be shared with those people. That doesn't include Yamaha, for what it's worth, or Sweetwater.
No, because no, this is purely analog. They donated
nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, this is totally analog that we're going to do this. I'm going to, like, email them, here's
yeah,
our people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just, you should probably be on those lists, too, because they do yeah. great giveaways and really good discount codes and things like that. So, Eric wants a big piece of copper with the Copper Sound logo on it.
Now that is probably something that we couldn't afford.
Probably not. Yeah.
Copper's expensive as hell, baby.
In this economy. So anyway, get on the mailing list. We're yeah. still working out some other stuff, like how we are going to choose a winner. We haven't talked about how we're going to yeah. reveal a winner and things like that. So this is open to Continental U.S. and or what do yeah, we say? North America?
I'm basically, so the trouble is we're going to be shipping a guitar and the show does not have, we were trying to get the best guitar that we could get with the money that the show has, right? So we haven't saved a bunch extra. There's not a big coffer left over. We haven't really talked about this off air. I kind of felt like, listen, if you win and you're not in like the continental, you know, if you're not in a range where shipping is reasonable, is like within the range of what we can do, then you'd have to help us out with it, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like there's probably not that many people, but like I'd want to do it correctly if somebody outside of the US won, but you might have to meet us with a little chunk of shipping. We could yeah. talk about that. I feel like that's an okay thing to do yeah. for this level of, like you said, analog giveaway.
And, yeah. And also somebody in our Discord mentioned like, oh, I'm outside of the US, but could you mail it to my family who is in the US? Of course.
Yeah.
We can definitely do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Any place we'll cross where there's that bridge. Import duties or something like that, we'd have yeah, to talk yeah. about it. So just be
we'll,
aware.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but get on the mailing list, get on this RevStar because it kicks. Oh, I was going to mention, as far as like immediate first impressions go with it, very mm-hmm. positive. It feels right in line with my PRS SEs, this silver burst one back here yeah. that my mic's in the way of. it feels more in the way of. I have a couple of SEs now and it feels like it could, you know, run in that race all day. Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. That's great. So, it's really cool. I can't win it.
Honestly, like, yeah, it came in and I was like trying not, I was like, you know, we ordered it real quick and stuff and trying not to get that attached to it because it's yeah. great. I know this it'll ruin like me.
It's something I would never do because I know I wouldn't be able to handle it. Raising a puppy that's going to be adopted, right?
yeah.
No way. No way could no I go way. Anywhere near that. That's yeah. a little bit what's happening here.
Yeah. So anyway, we can move on.
All right, we can move on. Then random button, and it will be... Eek, what have I not done? This one.
Strymedeco, baby.
Yeah. This one sounds like Third Eye Blind after they were Third Eye Blind.
Sure, man.
Are you having... do you smell toast?
Oh, my God, dude. Speaking of that...
Are we?
For some reason, just the other... Not like really having a stroke, but just yeah. The other day, yesterday maybe, we got an ad on Hulu that was in Spanish. And it happens very, very infrequently here.
Us too, yeah.
And it was but the first few words of the commercial were the product name in English, because it's just an English company.
There's like a sentence of almost Spanglish to
fool
you.
Almost English, yeah. And then it's like I'm watching the ad and I'm like having this moment on the couch like,
yes, <what? laughs> I've done exactly that. It's that. It's like one in 500 commercials you watch on Hulu for some reason is just... The last one we saw was like a drug commercial too.
Oh, ours this was like a popsicle commercial or something.
And it was long, and it'd be what? And then
so
firework. Anyway, yes. Oh my God,
it took me completely off guard. And I was like, I had to like lean over to Beth. And I was like, oh my God, I thought like my brain was pouring out of my ears. What was?
This is it. It's happening.
I thought I was having a stroke. Yeah. It was so strange.
Oh my God.
Anyway. Here we go. I got a new pedal. I got another fuzz
Derek
pedal.
Derek got a fucking pedal.
I got a fucking pedal. Here's the thing, guys. When new pedals come out that you're into, but your wallet is not into, just put that shit on your reverb list as used only. And then one day you get a really great surprise.
And somebody's like, this fucking thing, and that's your that's your day.
That's there we go. So I got the Hephaestus from Mythos for not $140. I can tell you that much. I got a really good deal on it. Used, free shipping too. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a variable voltage fuzz.
Octave down.
By lowering the voltage, it gets kind of sputtery and does these weird sub-octave and like sub-harmonic things. It'll do major thirds and low fifths and stuff. Oh. It's very odd. Excuse me. So this originally came out in a much larger enclosure, and it was a Reverb.com exclusive. So they sold them only through Reverb, and then they did like another...
I say this image, it looks like it has two components in it. I love fuzz pedals. You have transistor. Here you go. Have fun with transistor.
Yep. So then they did a collab with Rhett Shaw that was in an even bigger box, which was kind of silly, I think. But this is in the mini size, so it's like EP booster size, and it's a part of the regular lineup now, and I got it like brand new for really cheap. So that's it. I want to talk about it.
Basically brand new, yeah.
Basically brand new.
Oh, my God. The first RevStar demo.
We're here.
Is this really happening?
Yeah. So the thing about the voltage stuff is when the knob is all the way up, that is just like normal voltage, okay?
That's like your 9 volts. There you go.
Yeah. So it's not a gain pedal. Or it's not a gain knob, sorry. It's not like a fuzz amount or a level or anything like that. So... Expect Discord to destroy this.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's based on the circuit that was the fuzz pedal that was used on Spirit in the Sky, which the name of which I can't remember. Right?
Yeah.
So it's that thing, but it's a little modified in the Mythos way. And now you just like can dial this thing back. It crackles because it's doing a job.
Because it's a voltage. They always crackle. Yeah. Yep.
So I'm about 1 o'clock now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of choking it a lot now.
Well, this is it, right? This is the reverse. It's like, this is the fuzz thing, right? It's a reverse gain because you're losing headroom when you lose voltage.
Yeah.
So technically you're getting more distortion, even though the gain or the sort of
right.
output is a little maybe lower, but the input is not really. And it's like, oh, it's this weird thing that happens. Oh, so electricity. Check this out.
Do you hear it grabbing the
yeah.
low?
Yeah.
So it's not tracing, right? This is right. not a polyphonic thing. It's not a pog. My waveform.
It's not hearing your pitch and then it's not hearing your pitch and adding a low octave or
right,
changing
it's just
it.
Doing
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does all this weird stuff. The more you dial it back, it can get even weirder.
Oh, it's adding like a lower fifth or something there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's lower than the lower fifth. It's like two yeah. fifths down.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's an E that I'm playing, but it's adding two fifths down to an A. So cool. Oh, so cool. And if you dial it all the way out, it gets really like... Right? Really splattery yeah. and out of control.
It's very narrow.
Yeah. Really, really fun. All the way back up. All the way back down. It's the Hephaestus man.
Very cool.
Very, very, very cool. I'm
Can
super
dig.
Happy with it. And I feel like if you're somebody just playing with it for a couple hours here and there in the office here, I feel like if you're somebody who wants to do the Queens of the Stone Age thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need this.
That's what
you
it
need
sounds
this
like.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah. Early pick of the week for me is the new Queens of the Stone Age album.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna throw that out there.
Fucking A.
It's called In Times New Roman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They sound somehow like the desert and the swamp at the same time.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
Yeah. That's great.
That's Love the show, it. Man. That's all I
so
got.
So that's it. And well, there's all that's left is to talk about, as promised, the pros and cons of tuning.
Mm.
So,
common
I mean,
cons,
we should,
looking yeah. like a dork.
Everyone's impatient with you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a pro. Yeah,
pro. I'm waiting for Eric's pro.
I can't
pro
wait for
to
him to tell me
chat.
That it's in tune after.
Yeah.
Come on. Fucking
do
dare
it.
You.
Man. Makes you a top dog in a Discord server. So here's where you're wrong, pal.
Wow. Somebody needs to bump him down a few levels. Let me just get to that.
you can't... What is it?
I don't know.
Oh, there's a tuna fish joke here somewhere, right? Tuna guitar, tuna fish. Here's a con. It makes you top dog in a Discord server. Yeah. Well done. So... not a whole lot else because, again, yeah. I was on a boat and trying to think. I also, I was away and was not at a computer all day like I normally am, kind of getting the slow drip of guitar news. Mm-hmm. So unless somebody in the chat right now
can
tell us something to talk about.
Or well, okay, so Eric has already said he wants us to talk about Four Non-Blondes. And
okay,
how that's a good band name category is that's what
okay.
his point was, right?
Yeah. So like, yeah, five guys with beards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
does it have to have a non? Is that the detail?
I think it's just something really specific, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three sandals wearers. I like that. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a little bit of a mouthful, but not in a bad way.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
two spine havers. So right off the dome here.
Vertebrates. The Vertebrates. Is that a band?
Dibs.
I think it's sort of good.
Yeah.
I like it. Six people with eyes. Actually, upgrade or, you know, take it or leave it. Six people, 12 eyes.
There we go.
Okay.
Ooh, getting
six
mysterious.
People,
six
11
people,
eyes.
11 eyes.
There it is.
Yeah. Which one is it? And, no, and then you're on stage, you're all wearing sunglasses.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, there's all this band lore. Which one is it?
And one of the guys just has sunglasses that's like covers the whole front. And you're like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We have a genetic anomaly right over there, possibly.
And then suddenly, right, like they go on, they break up, come back with a reunion tour, six people, 13 eyes.
Oh, fuck. Did they add a person or did they just change somebody out for somebody with three eyes? Well, that was stupid.
I think we're done here.
Whoever has to turn their whole body. No, Eric, they still have necks. Nobody has to turn their whole body to look across the stage just because they have one eye. They have a neck.
Yeah, still. It's like Leela.
Right, we're talking to the Cyclops here. Still has a neck. No. I'm missing the point somehow.
Yeah, like if you have one eye, it's still in a socket. Like it still can move around. You know?
Yeah.
He says no. Well, that's no, he doesn't, that's friggin' cyclopsist, dude. So you're not welcome here.
I think I can honestly think of nothing else now besides.
What if it's the bass player who doesn't move?
Just walks into stuff. Bad depth perception.
Like my dog. Oh. Yeah. Dude, okay. So Charlie's like almost nine and he's 8 and a half and is like smacking his head onto stuff a little bit more often. And I feel bad, but it's also the most endearing, adorable thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Takes a corner too fast. Whack. Oh. Shakes it off. He's like, I'm fine. But man. So anyway, things of the week.
Things of the week. I need to sound effect that so I can find it easy and edit. You know, these sound effects, they're not for the quality of the show. They're so that I can find it quickly for the sake of YouTube chapters, just so you all are very clear.
Yeah. Eric, with the late ad, quick pivot, actual topic for discussion. Why should someone even start playing guitar now?
You shouldn't. You should get into programming guitar and then playing it through in MIDI and playing it through guitar amp sims. Mic drop.
I have no complaints.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think a sample set that's like, it sounds like a plugged in electric guitar. It sounds like bang, 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 but it'll sound good through an amp. It will.
Yeah.
MIDI amp.
Why do it? Because it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Why should we play guitar anymore?
Because
it's fun.
That's actually it. Because if you don't think it's fun, fuck. But that's never changed. That's not different now than it was before.
That's true.
Why should we play guitar?
I think for the reason, it's not just guitar. The reason one should play any musical instrument.
It's to impress potential sexual partners. It's the actual only reason for basically anything. It's the only reason to cut your hair. It's the only reason to even remotely consider what you should or shouldn't eat.
It's, yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of things. He says there's a lot of things competing for people's time these days. Yeah. I agree.
Like impressing potential sexual partners. Yeah, it's the only thing you're ever
doing.
Right.
Also, I think like, I don't know. If you want to be like a content creator and stuff, this like world of like the TikTok music scene and stuff,
okay.
How like pop hits are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Knowing how to play an instrument helps if you want to make music, right? Like, so I don't know. I think it depends on why would you, like, I'm not leaving this just to guitar because we all know how obnoxious guitar can be and like, you know, the endless gear shit and all that, whatever.
Yeah.
I was watching a video this morning about like the nuances of different analog.
10 years.
Yeah, I watched like the nuances of different analog delay types. Like nobody's thinking about playing guitar, getting into that, right? Nobody wants to like do that.
Yeah.
But that's where you end up. And that's when you're like, I hate this. But I think just play music for any other reason you'd want to play music, which could be to write the next great album. Yeah. Or it could be because you want to better yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think most of the time there's at least a component of, you know, dreaming of this, of being this thing that you enjoy, right? So it starts with enjoying music. And it's not like you are desperate to be a rock star or something like that necessarily. Some people are, but like it's also like it's becoming more a part of that thing that you enjoy, right? So it's like if I'm just listening to music and then it's like, oh, and then even if I play guitar a little bit, I can imagine now better. And I don't know, you're reconnected to everything in a deeper kind of more, I don't know, it's a more brainstem sort of way, right?
Yeah. I've said this before. Guitar is one of those things that you can see a lot of fast early progress with. Mm-hmm. And that's an addictive feeling. So I think if you're a big music fan, you know, people who are super huge music fans who are not musicians, sorry, I'm like rehydrating from the day, super huge music fans who are not musicians are a very interesting type to me.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like for me, that was me. And I was like, wait, I could do that maybe. Right. And then you go and learn your favorite song and you're like, that's it.
Like, oh fuck.
That's all there is to it. And it blows the lid off. Right. So I think just, I don't know. Cause it's fun. You can't master it. I like things that you like can only improve on. Right, there's that.
There's no final boss.
Yeah, you win guitar. Like there's no the only guitar you can win is this Yamaha Revstar RSE20. Yeah, I don't know. Ever meet someone who loves jazz but doesn't play it? Fucking weirdos.
Wow. Huh.
Like is jazz music for other musicians? Have we just, oh my God, you guys, did we just win guitar?
We just cracked wide open the thing that probably everybody else already thought of.
10 years late. Oi. Oi, oi, oi. Okay.
All right. Well, now I got to do another
one. Why do anything, right?
Why do anything?
Why get into photography? When friggin' AI can just do it for you? Like, why make art when a computer can do it?
I heard about something just today in another Discord server that I'm in. Somebody mentioned they encountered a person on the internet who was 14. So we're not going to, we're going to limit the amount of shade we're throwing.
Total right? expert.
They're a fucking idiot because they're 14, just like all 14-year-olds. Anyway, this person said that they were an AI artist. And I eventually decided, well, you think, I quickly over the course of, you know, 90 or 100 seconds decided that I'm not actually mad about that because I feel like that person's just told me a lot about themselves, right? Yeah. So even if they were 40 and it was like possibly really cringy thing to say, more so than a 14-year-old saying it, it's like, I don't care. I'm kind of just like, oh, that's cute. Look at you. Good for you. You know what I mean? Because like you've just explained to me a lot about who you are. Or they're a developer of AI and they just have a funny way of saying it. But I don't think it was that.
That's worse. I think an AI artist. I mean, giving whatever amount of credit, right? There's a way to work with AI that is more beneficial artful than others, right? Yeah. We're talking about AI a lot at work, especially large language model AIs, because I work at a university. So it's like, how do we deal with students that use AI to write a paper? That's a very good and very real paper, right? That uses proper citations and makes good arguments and things like that. It's kind of a major issue. Right. But they're talking about it also in the realm of doing our job as the university, right? How can we use this to leverage course design and curriculum and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of people are like, so what you're saying is I need to get ready for this to replace my job. right? There's that whole thing of like, are the robots going to take over and take my job? And they say, no, someone who knows how to work with AI is going to take your job.
Right.
And that's the first thing I thought of when I'm an AI artist came up, because I feel like if you're not trying to do it, you're so, you know what I mean?
Like the kid who says I'm an AI artist, are they positioning themselves to take the artist's job? Is that what we're saying? They're sort of saying, well, I'm going to be ready. Are you, you know?
I don't know.
Because art is a, well, if I'm going to zoom out and not make this a joke anymore, like art's a funny thing. And there's always been artists, many of them successful, who are fucking with you. And that is the art, right?
Banksy.
Or, there's the Banksy thing, or there's even stuff where they're not really fucking with the audience, but they are fucking with the idea of what is art. And that, even if they're if they're laughing with the audience about it, like that's always happened. So, you know, there's probably some room around the edge for like the AI artist, you know, working in, you know, using AI to creating something that involves AI art. You know, I'm trying to use specific language, right? Like,
yeah, that's different.
The picture that the AI generated is not what the artist created, but, you know, ellipsis. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, if you had not told me that was from a 14-year-old, I'd be coming at this with a very different thing. But when you say it's from a 14-year-old, I immediately blow it off. And I shouldn't do that, but you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's probably because, just a funny thing, but like
it's a funny thing, but it's also like maybe that 14-year-old's not that wrong and doesn't know it.
And doesn't know what it means yet, but they're going to be poised to figure it out first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is what I was thinking of when you said that. Like the person who figures out how to work AI into their job is going to take your job. I'm thinking of that. Like the visual or not or anything artist of the future is going to learn, is going to know how to utilize this.
Yeah. And, it's another tool in the toolkit. Like it's a very strong tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that got really intense.
That's fine. That's totally fine. I think we can totally do thing of the week, and I'm going to play something random like this. There we have it. Oh, he disappeared. Oh, he's back.
I'm right here. My thing of the week is I didn't mention this really on the show. I just got a new record player.
Oh, neat.
And I don't think you can really see it too well.
It's right there. Behind the guitar.
Behind the guitar that we're giving away. And I got some powered speakers, and it's awesome. It's lovely. I got a U-Turn Orbit Plus, and it's great. So now I'm like a vinyl person, I guess.
Transitioning into being a vinyl person now.
I'm transitioning to, I'm made of vinyl.
Metamorphosizing.
I tried to explain this to someone the other day, like, oh, I guess I'm getting into vinyl now. And I said, because, and then I didn't know where I was going with it when I said that. And I was like, because I'm 35 and white. Like, there's no, because there's really, I can't, like, let's just lean into it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have my fancy coffee and put on some vinyl and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So I have like a lot of old vinyl. I've had it for a very long time. It's in pretty bad shape, I'll be honest. And some of it's not really worth keeping. But I'm really having a blast collecting my favorite albums on 12-inch vinyl records. And this came in today. And
All right.
Jimmy Eat World's latest, Surviving. It's in this wicked gatefold with like all the stuff. And like lyrics and things. What's funny is like some of these were printed and then have sat in stores for a long time. So they include digital download cards, which are kind of not a thing anymore. but anyway, this came in a very rad white vinyl variant, which is really great. I've just been getting a lot of stuff, finding some really good deals around. I got Beggars by Thrice for like $12. I could not believe it.
Hmm.
And it came with a really fantastic sort of liner notes book that has a bunch of notes about the demoing process and recording and writing and stuff. And like just details from the band, like about what the approach to the song was and all that. And it's like a coffee table book sized thing.
Yeah.
But it's more just like, you know, pages. But I've got a lot of really fun stuff that I've been gathering here, and it's just been fun.
Damn it.
I'm not gonna go like rebuy my whole music collection, but it's like the albums that are faves I want to have mm-hmm. in a big physical thing, and it's great.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
Got this yeah. one today.
In rainbows.
In rainbows.
Because we have to say things because not everybody yeah, is watching YouTube. It's a
friggin' transformative album for yeah. me. Anyway, so I'm that guy now, I guess. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. Awesome. Really fun.
Cool. All right, I'm going to do this. It's like right in front of me. so I've been on a big... things with my work really go in phases, and it's odd, but this happens year after year after year. I'll get a call about an audiobook, and then I'll get three or four more. And I have, over the past month, I've chewed through two of them, and there's another one that's sort of on pause, and we're just getting to kind of post-production on a fourth. So that is this. So this is... Did you guys know Neil Gaiman wrote a children's book? Maybe yeah, more than one.
He's written many.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. But anyway, I got contacted by this... this guy, he was an actor. Now he kind of runs a company out in California. And this is a personal project for him. He's reading this for his grandchildren, right? He kind of wants them to have it. So this is,
I love that.
This is Fortunately the Milk by Neil Gaiman. It's a, you know, like 100-ish page, but with a lot of illustrations. It's a children's book. It's not like a baby book. There's yeah. a lot of complexity here. It's worthy of Neil Gaiman.
yeah,
it's funny. There's time travel. There's, you know, loop paradoxes. Here's my copy
of the Neil Gaiman reader.
There you go. Curious.
It's a large book.
A large book. So yeah, I mean, we recorded, I mean, the audio is less than an hour all put together, but I'm going through now and, I'm building a sound effects soundscape for it too. So I'm going to do, and I want to give him two versions because for his kids to read, I'm going to give him a version that has page turn chimes so they can flip along with it. But then also if they don't want the chimes, I want there to be another version. So I'm kind of tracking that all along and I'm putting sound effects in. The pirate shows up and the sword like comes
yeah,
out
of the hilt.
And the flying saucers and the zip zap of the time machine and the, yeah, I mean, the story...
That sounds really fun.
It's fantastic, and the weird things are happening, and then later at the end, he's tying up that loose end. You're, oh, shoot, that was him doing the death, and then they were zipping back and forth. It's great. In prep for it, I got this in paperback to prep for doing the project and read it to my daughter, who is almost 8. I feel like she was able to follow it. I haven't like quizzed her on the plot or anything, but it's an older children's book, but still a children's book.
Yeah.
Anyway,
would you call it young adult?
I would not call it young. I think it's I think it's a children's book.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know what age group to put it at, honestly. Oh, wait, on the back it says ages 8 to 12.
Oh, there you go.
Is that young adult? I think that's a little below young adult. So according to HarperCollins, they think it's 8 to 12. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Preteen. Very cool.
Fuck you, 13-year-olds. I think a 13-year-old could still enjoy it. I enjoyed the shit out of it, so.
Neil Gaiman. Hey, man, enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman is one of my favorite authors, like many people, obviously. He's like one of the most like successful authors there is. But he wrote Coraline.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of well-known movie that's like sort of a children's movie, but not really. But it was originally a book, and he wrote it.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So that's what's clear. Like when he writes something for a younger audience, there's plenty there. You don't have to worry about what audience is for.
Oh, there's exactly. Where is it? I don't have it over here. I studied a lot of gaming for my master's, and his book, The Ocean at the End of the Lane. Pretty short, not a kid's book, but it's short, like a 100-ish page thing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's all about
bloody fantastic.
When you grow up and you just feel like a confused kid on the inside. Oh, sing it, sister. Anyway, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do. So that's going to be the show. All that's left for you to do is to sign up for the newsletter if you aren't there yet, because you too could win a Yamaha RevStar RSE20 in Swift Blue, Tone Control, Racing Stripe colors, which we are extremely excited about and happy about. And that's all made possible because of our lovely patrons who support the show and the community. Likewise. So go to patreon.com/thetonecontrol to contribute your support and help us do the show. And that's about all. Yeah. I mean, what can I say? Here we are. And so hopefully this counts as giving it back, because I sure as shit think it does.
I think it does.
All right. So, and that means thanks today go to Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Jamie Evans, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, Top Dog.
Wait.
Oh no, it is just changed. Fortunately, Top Dog, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Mako Guitars, Andrew Welsh of Andrew's Alcove, and Doug Christ of 37 Effects, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects. And I said the "and" too early, Mike. My comma phrase got fucked up. Anyway,
sorry,
thanks,
Sean.
Thanks everybody, especially Sean. And we'll see you next time. Sign up for the newsletter. Boo.
Goodbye.